Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Treacherous conditions, sleet, snow, freezing fog, temperatures into minus conditions. The weather warning for those freezing temperatures and ice comes into effect tonight, over 120 asylum seekers are still sleeping outdoors in tents. Most of them are outside the Knocklisheen Direct Provision Centre, where County Clare borders Limerick City, and they've been there for over 3 months now, despite original assurances from government that people would sleep in tents for no more than a few weeks. Some of those living in tents have signed a petition to the government pleading to be moved. And today they spoke to Drive Time's John Cook, who's with me now. John, we heard that tented accommodation was unsuitable for winter weather conditions in other parts of the country, but seemingly no change in Knocklisheen.
Not so far, Cormac. 104 people were moved to live in tents here in early September. Knocklisheen was one of three sites where tented accommodation camps were set up after Gormanston in County Meath, which closed in early October, with Department of Integration officials at the time speaking of its unsuitability for winter accommodation. You may recall we visited asylum seekers living in tents in Tralee in County Kerry in October before they were moved on. And I've been in contact with some of the 175 international protection applicants who were living at the Lissy Woolen Direct Provision site in tents in Athlone. Most of them have been moved on up to last week, though 18 still remain. Their conditions, like the 104 men living in tents in Knocklisheen, have been made much more challenging by this week's cold snap and sub-zero temperatures. So when I sat down with a group of men from the Knocklisheen site today, they were obviously cold and tired, as some showed me pictures and videos on their phones, and others described conditions to me in the 13 tents there these last few nights.
The situation in the tent is too bad. It's unbearable, so we cannot bear it. It's too bad. Even people are fall sick already.
Have you been sick?
Yes, what? I'm getting cough. Mm-hmm. I'm getting cough and cold.
I can see one electric heater in the videos that some of you have showed me, but there's more heating than that, is there?
Very cold. It's too cold.
The videos you showed me, there are eight beds very close together in each tent. How would you describe it?
I can say there is no privacy, there is no, you can put your legs, and if you, there is no space at all, and it, like we are sleeping together in one bed. So
I can see in the videos, the beds, there are eight single beds, but they're very close together.
Yeah. The worst thing is that when you are going out in the midnight, going to the toilet, it's far from the tent.
How far?
Around maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes in the midnight, you're in your, when you are sleeping, and you wake up, then it's hard to get sleep again.
Because so you're cold, you're heading out in the, rain. Actually, these last few nights, just for bitterly cold nights.
Yeah, so it's difficult. And when it's raining, it gets a lot of wet. So, and there's no mat inside, so we bring that wet in the inside the bed, so everything's miserable.
Okay.
There's some of the views of the asylum seekers still living in tents. You spoke, John, to some of the men in more detail as well.
Yeah, we chatted for a long time. Some were nervous about speaking out, but many have now put their names to a petition pleading for somewhere better to sleep. The 104 men living in the tents in Knocklisheen come from various countries like Somalia, Ghana, Algeria, Georgia, Afghanistan and other places. Most of the men arrived in Ireland in June and July, staying at the City West Hotel in Dublin until they were moved on towards Limerick City, they were told, not knowing they said they would end up in Knocklisheen and in tents in September. James is in his 20s and he was shocked, he said, to realise it was tents they were moving into, but were told initially it would be for 3 to 4 weeks. Now it's over 3 months on and there's no word of moving on. So I asked him to describe how he feels about the living conditions there now.
It's very horrible. It's inhuman. I wouldn't wish on my worst of enemies to sleep there as well.
One of your friends here tells me there's a heater. I can see a heater in the video. Yeah. What other heaters are there in your tent?
The heaters are just probably there just be sake of getting warm, but it's not working. And the tents are releasing cold from sides because I can see, but because they are not tight enough. The heaters are not enough. And like the last couple of days, people have been sleeping inside the recreation room, inside the building.
You went in to sleep in the reception centre, in the main direct provision centre,
yes,
because it was so cold?
Yes, sir. We couldn't bear the cold.
And are you allowed to do that? Can you sleep inside?
No, we are not allowed to, but we had to do it, so because there's no other option.
And I can see in the videos you showed me as well, there's just people sleeping on the floor everywhere there as well.
Yeah.
Will you go back to the tents tonight?
I don't know. I guess we don't have another option. What can we do?
You've seen people have been moved from other tented accommodation. It was considered it wasn't suitable for the weather in Meath or in Athlone. You hoped you'd be moved too, but you haven't heard anything.
Yeah, we hope to be moved. I'm asking for the government to just deal with our situation. Because I think we're the last people living in tents. Because it's not easy. Some of the people there are just getting cold now. And the weather is getting horrible. Some are getting sick. Some are getting frostbite.
So frostbite, even?
Yeah, frostbite.
In like hands or toes? Or
no, hands. Hands. All we're asking is a better place to live and just to get warm. And that's it. Nothing else.
That's James, seeking international protection in Ireland, now living in a tent for over 3 months. What has the government to say, John, about this?
Well, I've asked them, Cormac, and with 104 international protection applicants still in tents in Knocklisheen and 18 still in Athlone, a spokesperson from Minister Roderick O'Gorman's department told me this evening that those in tents are prioritised to move to suitable accommodation as soon as it becomes available. The department says it has no choice but to consider all accommodation offers, given the significant number of arrivals of refugees and asylum seekers here. They say, for instance, they're considering office buildings, sports halls, any offers of accommodation they get. Their statement goes on to say that while the current reliance on emergency settings is less than ideal, these options are necessary to provide shelter to international protection arrivals and to prevent homelessness. The statement concludes by saying that tented accommodation will cease to operate once current residents are all re-accommodated. But when that is very unclear this evening. I was struck by how little the men themselves know about this and how their lack of information is adding to their level of worry and frustration. One really visibly upset man told me that his state of mind is suffering. I've never been a soldier, he said. I'm not a slave. I don't understand why I have to live in freezing conditions in a tent. Goza is in his 30s and he's from Nigeria.
I was so disappointed, totally disappointed, because even in my life, in my entire life, I've never lived under the tent. I feel so bad about it. My family call me back home every time, but I can't just dispose what I'm going through.
So you don't want to talk to them or show them a video call? You don't want to tell them you're in a tent?
I'm not in the mood to tell them because I'm not happy, you know. My situation is not something I can explain to them.
Were you aware before you came to Ireland of a housing crisis here and a homelessness crisis and then many, many refugees coming here and this accommodation shortage?
I didn't have idea about it until I got there. I understand situations like this can come for government. I mean, challenges like this come for government, but it is their primary responsibility to look after everybody, not to be selective. Because after we left City West, a lot of people came after us and they were being treated well. So why is our own difference?
So you think other asylum seekers have come from City West since you moved in July and haven't been sent to tents?
Yeah, they were never been taken to tents. So what's the difference? I appreciate that the government are doing their best, but their best is not enough. Because what they told me is, you're going to stay here for 3 weeks, but now we are spending 3 months. So that's very disappointing.
These cold, bitterly cold nights ahead. And they have been the last few days. Can you continue in that situation?
Yeah, it has gone worse since about 2 days now. You can see me, I'm putting on jackets, even in where you are putting heater. So it definitely, you know, I'm feeling cold in my bone.
Where do you hope to go? Because you've seen some people have been moved on to areas where there have even been protests, as you mentioned. Do you worry about that?
No, I don't care where they move me, in as far as it's a living home. You know, it's better than tent. Tent is... You have to consider my state, I mean, state of my head as well, because being under tent is another thing. You have to drink, I mean, every day you remember you are living under the tent. It's very, very disturbing. The tent is really crazy. We can't cope anymore.
And that is Goza, one of a group of asylum seekers still living in tented accommodation, speaking with John Cook. And you know how cold it is these days, and it's forecast to get even worse as well. After the break, we'll get the reaction of John Lannan, who's CEO of Durris, a migrant and refugee support group, about what he's been listening to. Stay with us.